Good evening, it's Rabbi Mayevsky. We are facing now Parshas Noach already. We move on fast. And what I wanted to do is continue basically from last week. And what I mean by that, I entitled the shiur, Why Are We Here? Very simply, God has created the world, and in the year 1656, he brought a marble to destroy all human life, all life, period, on this earth, except for the fish who are in the water. And that's it. It's over. But the question is, why was Noah chosen to be the savior of mankind? What was it? And we see at the end of the parasha, as I mentioned last week, it says, V'noach mosachem b'enei Hashem, and we're left with that. It doesn't explain anything really what it exactly it is. And one might ask a question. We see earlier in the parasha, it says, V'yishalech Noach esol Elokim, V'yeinenu kilokach oso Elokim. And it's very strange because if you would think that Noach, we say at the beginning of this parasha, Noach is tzaddik, certainly Hanoch was certainly a greater person because after in those days only 365 years of his life, because he was such a major tzaddik, God decided to take him away, not to let him be corrupted by the society. But the wording in the pasuk is really very strange. When it says kilo v'einenu, what in the world does v'einenu mean? And what's very interesting to realize, v'einenu is we have people in this world who are great tzaddikim, or they are brilliant people, but what they're doing is they're learning for themselves, and they don't impart their knowledge to other people. Whatever they do, they keep it to themselves. There are people who sit and learn. They may be great talmidei chachamim, but they don't teach it to other people. They're busy learning for themselves. And what God's message was, V'einenu, God's message to Hanoch was a very simple one. When he was born and he grew up and he lived among people around, he became a great tzaddik and he had his children. But after he had children, he basically distanced himself from the rest of the world. He led a very secluded life, and he v'einenu. He wasn't living with his human being compatriots. He wasn't living with the people of his time. He tuned them out, basically, and he was a tzaddik for himself. V'einenu ki lo kach oso Elokim. At this point in time, God decided that if he's not being a part of the human race, there's no point in him being here. Of course, it takes, you know, he's being treated, so to speak, on a level of Elio Anavi, we might think, who went up to Saras Eish, and we're thinking in terms of Hanoch. God just made him disappear. However that happened, we don't know. There's no explanation. And so one might want to know, why did God choose Noach at that point in time? Because it doesn't say in last week's parsha in any way at all that he was a tzaddik. But this week's parsha, we begin, and it said, Noach ish tzaddik, tamim hoya b'dorosav. But what was the reason that God actually chose Noah? And what was this Motzel Chaim? Because Noah was among the first people who, when it said, the clue is in the pasuk that we laid in last week's parasha, when it says when Noah was growing up and when he was born, it says, Zeh, Yenachameinu Mimaseinu Mitzron Yodeinu. The word Zeh has two trup on it. And what was the big thing about Noah? Noah, of course, was the savior of mankind. In fact, he was the only human being left, he and his three sons and their wives, and Noah and his wife. These eight people were the only human beings that were to bring forth the human race to savior. But in his lifetime, before the flood, Noah invented farming tools. Noah didn't retreat into himself. Even though Noah was a tzaddik, he didn't even after God chose him to be the savior of mankind, he didn't retreat into himself and just depart from mankind. God gave him the job, was he gave him 120 years to build a teva, to give the people 120 years to do tshuva. Perhaps he thought that if Noah could influence enough people, they would change, which is the way we're taught, and that's what had happened. Of course, he was not successful, which leaves open the question as opposed to Avraham Avinu. But nevertheless, He tried. He wasn't successful, but he still tried to do things for mankind. And in fact, he even built a teva hoping that he could possibly save more people. But nevertheless, that's what God told him to do. And he was a tzaddik in his own generation. But it says Dorosov in his generation, because Noah was one of the few people who lived life before the flood and saw what life was like after the flood. And that had to be a tremendous shock to his system. After being in the teva for a whole year, coming out and seeing a land that was like when the world was created, that was worse condition than when Adam was created. Not only was he alone in the world, but the land was dry, but there was nothing. There was no vegetation, nothing for him to eat. When Adam was born, he had all the things prepared for him so that he could eat. And of course, that is why God had to grant Noah the ability to eat meat, because he had nothing to eat at that point in time, which is a very unfortunate situation, which made him at this point in time to retreat into himself the same way Hanok did. But he lived a life of solitude after this, because we see after he was 600 years old when the flood came, 601 when he leaves the flood, Noah dies at the age of 950, and we hear nothing about his life for the last 349 years. So while he was a great tzaddik and had so much feeling for humankind, which made him invent or discover all these farming tools for mankind to aid everybody in there to improve the life of all human beings, he still, at this point in time, couldn't deal with the destruction of the world. And afterwards, all he could do was, there was no such thing as alcohol before this, of course. And he planted a vineyard for however long it took. And he got the first person to ever get drunk. And he never really recovered. He lived that kind of a life. So the parasha begins with Noah and the events of the flood. And it ends with a very interesting thing that we are told. And what we are told is the life comes to at the end of the parasha, same way Bereshis ends with the birth of Noah. Noah ends with the beginning of the life of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu was the man who kept his foot on the pedal till the very end. And what I mean was, Avraham was out there. Now, Avraham, it doesn't say the word tzaddik, but obviously Avraham Avinu was a great tzaddik, and there's where we have the rub in terms of comparing him to Noah and Avraham. Of course, Noah lived in a generation where the people were much worse, but Avraham Avinu had the opportunity to live with people who were living shorter lives and was certainly concerned with their own mortality. But Avraham Avinu kept on trying to influence people. And of course, we know that Abraham was much more successful. Perhaps it was easier for him to convince people because of the fact that the people had the experience of the flood beforehand. They wondered what happened to all their ancestors, and they realized that they couldn't trace anybody back beyond a few generations, because God decided, because of the evil people, that he would destroy the world. So possibly they were easier targets for him to convince to do tshuva, to repent. And perhaps that was one of the reasons that Abraham was more successful. But nevertheless, we see even at the end of Abraham's life, after Sarah dies, when Abraham is 137 years old, he didn't retreat because his wife passed away and his children were grown up and had gone away. He got remarried and had six more children, Avraham Avinu. He never distanced himself from mankind, as Noah did at the end of his life, and certainly Hanoch did in the middle of his life. And this is the lesson that we have. But what's the very interesting thing is, what is the whole reason for this whole story that we have, the beginning of Bereshis, and telling us all about the downfall of mankind in the first 1600 years that God felt he had to destroy the world? What is the purpose of telling us all this? If the Torah is a book of mitzvos, perhaps that should suffice, and that should leave us with the thought process of teaching us the 613 mitzvos, begin with the story of Avraham Avinu, or just leave out certain stories because we don't seem to get much out of the story. We see that God destroyed the world. Perhaps we are supposed to realize that God has our life in his hands, and if we don't walk the straight and narrow, but it's to teach us more than a lesson. It's not just the Chumash, is not just a book of 613 mitzvot, but it's more a life of God is trying to teach us, since it is for our benefit, for the benefit of Yiddishkeit, for the benefit of Avraham Avinu and all his generations that follow him. Because God wants us to understand, if human beings are left to their own devices, in other words, Adam was created, and Adam, Shays, Enosh, and all those generations, and they were not given any rules other than abortion or just believing in God. But basically, all we had was the Noahide laws. We call them the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noah, a very basic modicum of laws where you could really do most anything and lead your life freely to do whatever you feel like with very few restrictions. But God is trying to teach us, I want you to see what happens if one is left to his own devices, if human beings are not given a structure, not given a totally structured life of 613 mitzvot. If I give you the Torah, the only thing that will make your life worthwhile, that you will see the only way mankind can survive comfortably and properly, to see what the life of a person who has no restrictions, who does not follow the Torah, and somebody who does have the ability to follow the rules and regulations set forth in the Torah, all the Taryak mitzvot are there for us to better our lives. And that is the very important fact that we learn from this parsha. And God is telling us, mankind was created, Adam HaRishon was created, and in the image of God, but without restrictions, without the laws that he was given to Avraham Avinu and to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the Bnei Yisrael when they got the Torah, without that, not to say that life would be meaningless, but it certainly lacks a certain structure that leads us down what we would call the primrose path, lead us into a life of meaningless life. And therefore, you know, I remember one many years ago when I was giving a talk someplace, and a person who was a nice Jewish person, but he called himself a humanist. And he said, if you're a good person, you could be a good person, and you don't have to have the laws of the Torah behind you. But that is what we come to when we're left to our own devices. We may be well brought up, and we may have good manners and treat our fellow man kindly, but without Yiras Shemayim, without Yiras Elokim, Rak Ein Yiras Elokim B'Makom HaZeh, we see people who have the best intentions, when they don't have the fear of heaven, when they don't have the fear of God, there is a lot missing in their life, because people tend to sweep things under the carpet, to give themselves a break, sometimes not enough, sometimes more than they deserve. And these are very interesting things about the parsha that I feel are very interesting. One other thing that I wanted to point out, just to mention, because we know the world was created and there are so many differences of opinion of the age of the earth. And there are various opinions that say that worlds were made and destroyed, made and destroyed, and that may be the reason for the dinosaur bones, for the fossils that we have. The Baal Peh makes a very interesting thing, and he discusses obviously, he was aware of dinosaur fossils. He only lived about 250 years ago. And what he mentions in his Divrei Torah on the Parsha, and he mentions dinosaurs, and he says, of course, when Vayisachru Mayanos the home, when the waters flooded the earth, and the waters from below the ground, the fissures in the earth opened up, and all the waters from down below came up, the dinosaur bones floated to the surface, and when the land dried, the dinosaur bones were buried deep down, probably a few thousand miles down into the earth's surface, because they had lived so many millions and millions of years before. But nevertheless, we don't know if that was one of the worlds that was made and destroyed, or that was just a the system of creation, whether it was, as the Ramban says, many worlds were made and many worlds were destroyed, and each one was, the earth was now formed as we know it today, and whatever's in the earth, that's how it was created for mankind. When Adam was created at the day one, so to speak, or on day six, rather, that at that time, the earth as we know it today began to exist, and time existed from that point on. So if we follow the time frame, that's what it is. But that's the whole idea of the dinosaur bones. Also, in reference to the rainbow, if you look at the language, language is very important because God uses the tenses very well, because everything is done for a message. When it says the rain, the question in the Gemara asked is if the Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, that after creation, this was the first rainbow, how could it be that God created a rainbow? And the answer is he did not create the rainbow in this week's parsha. It says, V'nirasa HaKeshet Be'anon, the rainbow became visible. The rainbow is always there, it's always there. But what happens is, after a tremendous rain, especially after the 40 days of raining day and night, all the clouds, all the waters of the heaven emptied out, and then it became all the clouds that are so thick empty out, and things become visible. There's no more, so to speak, curtain of clouds obscuring the vision of the people down on earth. And we know that. When do you see a rainbow? After a rain, when the clouds empty out, if it's a good rain, and of course, depending on where you are, depending on certain climates, the rainbow, as a child, I've seen many rainbows, but I didn't see it for so many years until I was in Alaska a few years ago, and we saw the rainbow at that time. I hadn't seen it for many years. But the fact remains, that's why it says, V'nirasa HaKeshet Be'anon Uri Siha, when it became, after the 40 days of rain and a whole year, the sky emptied out, that was the sign, and God told Noah that this is the sign I'm giving human beings. But the fact remains, we're left with the thought process, did Noah actually know that God would not destroy the world again? Because Noah, obviously, he did not have any more children, and one of the things that depressed him is, after all of these happening, he didn't know what would be, because what the pasuk is saying, once again, the use of language, Vayomer Hashem Elibo, God was talking to himself and saying, Lo osif od lekal eles u'adama bavor ho'adam, I will never again destroy the world. Did he tell it to Noah? We don't know. And it would seem from the Chumash that what would be the point of telling him that I'll never destroy the world again? He wants you to believe, certainly at some point in time, that if you step out of line beyond a certain point, that is always in the offing. And so that is the point, and that's why we have that word, Zeh Yenachameinu Mimaaseinu Miyitzron Yodeinu, as it began. It's a very interesting word, Zeh. If you take a look at the notes on the top of the word Zeh, it's a one-syllable word, yet this is the only time when you have a one-syllable word that has two notes on it. Now, how do we deal with that? And the reason that there's two notes on it, one is the Ger Shayim and one is the Tlisha, and what we're talking about over here is the people were so thankful for Noah for the great deed that he did, Meyitzvon Yodeinu, when he created farming tools to avoid having to make people's planting life easier, the agricultural life so much easier. But the fact remains, what they didn't understand at the time was, Zeh, God was trying to let us know, because the notes weren't made up by man. The notes were included. When God gave the Torah, he gave it with what we call the trup, the Shemos HaTamim, with the notes. And he's letting us, the major reason we invert when we read it, that we shouldn't think that the main purpose of Noah's life on this earth was the farming tools, as the Pasuk seems to tell us. The main reason for Noah to have existed was to save mankind. So we put that note first, and the way the Torah lists the notes, that we invert the way the reading is from the Baal Korah, reads it in the opposite order, which is thought process of what we're doing here. which brings us to the end of the parsha and with the birth of Abraham. And the lesson is obviously that we are supposed to get on with our life till the very end, and that's why when we get to Parshas Vayeshev, when it says Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kenan, that it's a very interesting thing that what happened over there. It says Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Shalva. He thought he was 108 years old, and now he would, so to speak, kick back and try to enjoy life. And it says Kavtzolo Rugzol Shel Yosef. When you are a man of that stature, when you are a man with the ability of Yaakov, one does not take his foot off the pedal, and he has to keep on living his life. When you have those capabilities, you have to continue living that life. And that's why, as I mentioned last year, take a look at the spelling. The word toldos has a vav at the beginning in Noach, and it does not have a vav after the dalet. There are times when there's a vav after the tuf, and there's a time that there's a vav after the lamed. So sometimes it's what we call chaser, and sometimes it's mole in one letter, and sometimes it's mole in the other. With reference to Noach, he was Noach is tzadik tamim hayah b'dor osav. He obviously was, his birth was of a great triumph in the world. For his first 600 years, he was Noach is tzadik. But at the end of his life, after the Dalet, later on in life, his life was a failure, because not only did he not able to make anybody repent, but of course there was a disconnect from his generation to the generation certainly of Chum, and even a little bit of Yefes. Of course, the only son that Abraham comes from is Shem. And we see that, again, we discussed that there's only one time that told us to spend Mole in both the beginning and the end of the word, at the end of the word, and that is at the beginning in last week's parasha when it says, Ela toldos hashamayim v'oretz behi baram. When God created the world, he created it in its perfect state. There was no disconnect at the beginning, and there's no disconnect at the end. Everything he made was perfect. The problem is, he left it in our hands, and we are human beings with human frailties, and because of that, we have to watch our step. And that is why God gave us the Torah, to aid us in the fact to be able to live a life with our rules and regulations and a guide for, as the Rambam would call it, a guide to the perplexed, because so many things we don't understand. But of course, the Rambam obviously did understand certainly more than most. But the point is, we have to accept what it is. And that is why the beautiful thing is that we have our mantra is Nasa V'Nishma. Let that guide us in our lives. Have a good week. Next week we will discuss the life of Abraham Avinu. Thank you. Have a good evening.